So I'm here to talk about the Swinburne experience with the open journal systems and the open conferencing system. I'll give a bit of background and go over why we decided to get involved with these projects, how we went about it, and some of the lessons we learnt along the way that might be useful. Just to give you a bit of context, Swinburne University is a dual sector university. That means it covers higher education and TAFE, which I think is roughly equivalent to community colleges over here. I've put some numbers up there to give some context on our size, and we have a number of different campuses. I work in the information resources area, which covers the library, the web, and copyright. Our library work, our library is regarded as quite innovative. We've got expanding services. We're quite involved in research with our Office of Research in terms of supporting the management of research outputs. We're one of the areas that's experimenting most with some of the Web 2.0 social software areas in our library. We take on content management, and this is a role that we see across the whole university, not just within library content. And also, because of our overlap with copyright work, we're very focused on flexible licensing, open content licensing. Wherever possible, we make all our material available under a Creative Commons license that lets people share and reuse our material. So we've set up the Swinburne Online Journal Service and Swinburne Online Conferences Service, and I'll go into each of these in a bit more detail, but basically the why we've done this is to support open access, to promote our institution's research, and with a real focus on effective content management. In terms of open access, we're members of something called the Arrow Project, which is in Australia a federally funded project to experiment with, learn from, identify best practice institutional repository services, and also covers e-publishing. So that through that project, we've set up an institutional repository trying to maximise the open access material that we're making available. And as well as that, we're really specifically interested in the electronic aspect of that, so publishing in an open access manner from the beginning. And that's really where the OJS software and our online journals projects comes through in enabling our researchers to publish in open access journals. And again, we see the flexible licensing of Swinburne material and our support for Creative Commons as being an aspect of making our material open access, that's making it available for people to reuse, share, etc. Why we're also promoting Swinburne research, increasing the recognition and prestige, we see it as a key argument for open access when we're discussing things with people, is it's really about making our content able to be found, making it much more visible. We have an additional motivator in Australia. Our government has announced a research quality framework. This is changing the way research is being assessed in Australia, so we're moving from just counting our outputs to trying to do an assessment of quality and impact. This is vaguely similar to the RAE exercise, if any of you know about that from the UK. Because the RQF is aiming to measure impact, this is really increasing the profile of access. People are seeing there's a connection between the two, and it's getting us much more interest from our research staff because of that. And supporting content management. We see the library as having a key role in content management in the university. It's a logical extension of what we do. A lot of our skills are able to be reused in this area, and to be honest, no one is really fighting us for this space. There's no other area in the university that makes sense for them to take over this area of content management. So we run a whole lot of different content management activities. We have an online image bank with openly accessible images. We have, in collaboration with other areas, developed a Swinburne-wide metadata application profile. We're involved in learning object management system trials with across universities. We make our information available by RSS for integration with other university systems, and we run the institutional repository and look at how we can effectively manage the university's research outputs. So in terms of what we did with these projects, I'd like to talk about our content management strategy first, because I see that as the overarching aspect, and then just give a brief example of the OJS and OCS projects that we've undertaken. With content management, I wanted to briefly discuss a common area where there's really different understandings when you talk about content management. So we're talking about content management as opposed to data management. We're interested in understanding the content, how it might be used, who it might be used by, not so much just in storing bits of data. And we're interested in publishing more than storage. So we're interested in how we're exposing that content, how we're making it available, how people might be able to use and share it. So it's that use perspective rather than a management perspective is what's driving our content management strategy. And overall, our approach is practical, visible, adaptable, and usable. And they sound like kind of meaningless terms, but I'll just talk through each of them briefly. So practical, we deliberately avoided definition discussions. I don't know if any of you have been involved in endless attempts to define what is content, what is information, what is knowledge, but we stayed well away from that. We weren't interested. We couldn't really see how it would help us in the end point to have those things defined. So we're happy with a very loose definition. It's stuff produced by the university. And when we get into specific projects, then we'll try and define the scope a bit more. Part of avoiding those discussions is acknowledging that we have limited resources. We don't have time to spend, you know, what could be considered wasted time on doing that. We don't want to tackle the impossible. We're not trying to do anything that no one else has done before. We're trying to tackle achievable tasks because we want to actually be able to demonstrate to our community that we're doing something useful. As it says, this is taken from our overarching ICT framework. We're just going to start doing it, basically. That's our approach. Visible. We're really focused around content that we can make broadly available. This is kind of about why we're doing this, who's going to be interested. And we have an underlying goal, not just to manage content, but to make it more accessible, more available, open access. And this is kind of a twofold thing. We see that as a benefit in itself, but we also see that as a motivator for content management. We think people care much more about content that they can see the benefit of it being managed, of it being made available, of it being shared. So that's really our focus. Adaptable, we don't want to wait for the ultimate solution. We're not trying to solve everything at once. There's a million examples of enterprise-wide content management system projects that have not gone anywhere because they've got so caught up in the complexities of trying to define every potential content workflow, etc. And this is where we actively adopt a multi-software approach. We're interested in software that's specifically targeted for the project that we're trying to do now. We're happy to have different platforms that we're working with because we don't think there's a single solution that is available. And usable, of course. We care about usability. We really want people to use these services. We can't see the point otherwise. And so we're very focused on making sure anything that we're provided is a usable, effective tool. And we also see usability in a broader sense of being prepared to respond to our community, of being prepared to change our tack if required, if what we thought we were delivering is not actually what they wanted. So that's our strategy, I guess then what? And this is where we went through some project identification and tried to get a balance between those four approaches of being practical, visible, adaptable, and usable. I guess an example is something like, say, a library documentation project. That would meet the practical criteria. It's kind of really easy, low-hanging fruit that we could get, we could manage, we've got an engaged community, but it's not very visible. We're not going to get big benefits from managing our own internal documentation. Our community's not going to be engaged and seeing any benefits. So we're trying to make sure that we balance all of them and actually go for projects that are going to give as broad a possible benefit. And again, with that underlying motive of open access. So our online journals project, as an example, we had an environment where we had research groups interested in the dissemination of their work. They'd identified a particular gap where they felt there was room for an additional journal. We felt we were able to help. We went through a process of identifying what benefits there were from our point of view, as well as meeting the needs of our community that was promoting and disseminating Swinburne research. And we had these additional benefits come through for our institutional repository. Wherever possible, we like to deal with material that actually has clear copyright and self-archiving provisions. That's one of the biggest tasks with our institutional repository. So the more that we could be doing that ourselves and practice what I preached and find provide examples for the community would be helpful. And we also wanted to provide effective tools for our researchers. As a content management activity, it fit most of our criteria. It was a practical, achievable option. It was visible. We were talking about open access material. We weren't interested in not open access journals at the time. We had a community who had identified a gap and identified a target audience. Adaptable and usable. This is where the OJS software really made this project easy for us. We could identify an open source, very usable, very easy to install and run and maintain piece of software. So we established a service. We coordinated an online journals group. We had a whole lot of different groups of people within the university who were interested in this online publishing. We really wanted to get them together to make sure that everyone could share their experiences and their understanding of maybe this was going to be a whole lot of work as well. So I'm actually quite happy with the fact that although we had about 7 or 8 groups initially interested in putting together a journal, as of now we've only got one live, and that's because the others have really, through this process of having this group and sharing information and sharing how much time it's taking everyone, have perhaps reassessed whether they have the capacity to you know, run a journal within their existing workloads. We selected and implemented the OJS software. Again, we've found this a really easy process. The OJS software was, we did very little customization on it. We've had really good feedback from our users. We are quite focused around usability and made sure that that was a key selection criteria and everyone was happy with that. And our first journal went live in 2005. As I said, with this focus around making sure that it's going to be able to be kept going within existing resources, the journal's still going, so we're quite happy with that. And for our own sustainability, it's really minimal continuing work in the library. We're all about enabling researchers to manage their own content rather than it having to come through us, and this is part of what something like the OJS software is letting us do, is providing those effective tools. Just a lovely screenshot of a journal. So we got the effective outcomes that we wanted. We want improving that profile of Swinburne research, effectively managed material, and provided some sustainable and accessible workflows. The other example that comes out of our content management strategy is dealing with conference papers. There was a key motivator with our institutional repository. Conference papers, we're finding them really hard to be found. Their copyright and peer reviewing status is unclear. It's really one of the key trouble areas for our institutional repository. And researchers also were wasting time in having to set up and run these conference websites and weren't being provided the support to effectively manage those conferences. When I was doing the consultation with our community and going around and talking to people about online conference service and whether it would be helpful, I was talking to one of our top optics researchers, and he was telling me how he'd spent the last 4 months teaching himself HTML so he could put a conference website together. It's just a perfect example of why we need to be providing effective tools so people can spend their time more effectively. So again, we had our benefits of promoting and disseminating Swinburne research and also supporting these real identified needs that we'd gone out and made sure existed. And similar additional benefits for our institutional repository. Again, we went through the process of, against our content management strategy, how it fit in with that. It was practical, it was going to be visible. We were looking at adaptability and usability with any kind of tools that we were looking at. So we've got plans to establish our Swinburne Online Conferences service. We've done all these community consultations. We've gone out and made sure which of the needs that we expected actually are, what other needs there were in the community. I think one of the major things that came out of that was the need for some kind of financial system. And I see that we're currently doing consultations to see if the PayPal plugin is going to meet everyone's needs. We basically selected OCS and we participated in the beta testing. We decided to wait for the latest version and we're currently implementing that. That's happening back home. And we're planning the rollout of our first conference with a pilot group. We had just an astonishing amount of response to a call for a pilot group. We did it in early January when in Australia everyone's on holiday, and we got kind of, you know, just 20 emails back within a day. It was incredible. We don't get that kind of response when we talk about our institutional repository. And again, with sustainability, with being able to maintain this work within our own workflow, ties in with our OJS work, and we expect minimal additional work once the service is established again. So I guess what we learned out of this process, engage with users. We've really got to remember why we're doing this and be adaptable. When we first started working with institutional repositories and open access, we thought the institutional repository would be the real focus of our activities. As we went out and talked to people, the response that came back was, well, that's fine, but we really want to be able to publish our work somewhere. And so that's why we were prepared to shift tack. We responded to the needs of our community and we started looking at OJS and online journals. Flexibility, we make sure that we don't treat our researchers as one big mass. We really need to understand that the different disciplines work incredibly differently and individuals work differently. And we're just really trying to be as adaptable as we can at this stage. And the key for us, I think, is this thing about maximising content visibility. So we've taken that both through our open access and repository work and also through our content management strategy. And I think it really is, it's giving us good returns in terms of people caring about content management a lot more. We have an archival photos, no one cares about them. We make them available online. All of a sudden people contact us, tell us, this is who's actually in the photo, this is what happened, and I have 10 other photos of the same event. Are you interested? So it's just about the more we maximise that visibility, the more people are engaged and interested. Thank you.